And you might like to turn in your Bible to the book of Numbers and chapter 13. Numbers in chapter 13. Now I can see this print, but somehow, that's why you guys wear glasses, because somehow it's going to make a difference. So, Jeanette said I'd be smarter if I wore these, so I'm going to wear them, maybe. Yeah, it looks all right to me, but we'll pray. Our Father and God, we thank you for your word. Thank you for your presence. God, here we are. Thank you. In Christ's name, amen. Now, in our looking at the Numbers, you'll remember, if you would, that Joshua and Caleb have crossed the Red Sea, and there that should be have made a very large impression upon them. They have been at Mount Sinai and watched and witnessed the awesomeness of the mount and the fire and everything. They are really caught up with God's awesome person. Now, so when? Just a few days later, after everything is set up, temple and all, tabernacle and that, they're going to go northward, 11 days journey, to Kadesh Barnea to go and take the land. They're ready. So that's what I want to pick up on. And chapter 13, you'll remember, if I can, verse 30. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." Well able. Verse 31, in reverse, the other 10 men. But, 31, but the men that went up with him said, "We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. We're not able to do so." Caleb, Joshua, "We are well able to do so." And we've looked at all of that many times. And therefore they were ready to go, walled the great walls, the around the cities, the chariots of iron, the giants there. But we're well able to take care of it. 38 years go by, and because of their unbelief, now they're going to cross the Jordan again, as across the Jordan they did, and they're ready to go to battle, Joshua chapter 5, and back up where we were, chapter 10 and 11, where they are going to go and take the conquest. They're going to conquer 33 kings. They're just going to go do it. They're well able. You won't read anything about murmuring. You won't have any mumbling. There's no complaint. They're going to do the job just like that. These are the same people, just ordinary slaves that have spent 40 years in the wilderness as sheep taken care of by the shepherd. And here they are. God has got them ready. They at least are of one mind and one heart to go forward. That's awesome. They can't hang on to it, but at least for a moment, they had it. Now, having said that, we jump into the New Testament because this is where we are. And now, therefore, over to 2 Corinthians. And in 2 Corinthians in chapter 4, 2 Corinthians in chapter 4, and picking up if I may, and you'll recall, 2 Corinthians 4, and let me get there, 2 Corinthians 4, picking up the context, verse 6, for God, this is why we're saved. This is what we heard. How did we get saved? We heard the good news. For God, who commanded the light, verse 6, to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts. What for? To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. Where? In the face of Jesus Christ. When we received the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, God had a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful fulfillment of why His Son died. God the Father is pleased, and we're able to what? To have such a relationship to God by way of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 7, how do we explain this? We have this treasure in earthen vessels, vessels of dust, clay. That purpose, the excellency of the power, may be of God and not of us. God has done such a wonderful thing, and He's chosen to take us humans, made in the image and likeness of God, but having an old sin nature. And therefore, God's going to go and do a wonderful thing in this vessel of dust. He's going to bring His awesome person, deity, into dust. And He's going to glorify Himself. Certainly, dust isn't, the branch isn't going to glorify anything. It's what the branch shows, the leaves and the fruit, to abide. Therefore, you will pick up in thought in verse 4, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency, that which is beyond the scale, there is no ruler, there is no measurement, there is no way to figure out over a year, like we said with the capsule up there, out in space, a year to get the message, for one message from the capsule. It takes that long to get, when it does what it says, it takes a whole year to get to us. Whole year. Now, having said that, we have this treasure, this relationship, God in Christ in you. We have this it's the, that the reason, that the excellency over and above, beyond measurement. Beyond measurement. What is beyond measurement? The power. Dynamite, dynamo, dynamic is a word, our English words. Wow. The power that is beyond measure. There is no way to measure it, this power. Wow. This ability. Caleb and Joshua said, they looked at God and said, God, you are something else. And since you said it, we're going to do it. We're able to do it. So here we are looking as believers in this day of grace. And therefore God's going to go, and His the surpassing power beyond measure of God's awesome wonder, in God's awesome, wonderful way, working that which is going to honor Him in a full and wonderful way. Therefore, in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, and 2 Corinthians chapter 2 gives us the why it's beyond excellency. Because 2 Corinthians 2, going to verse 12. Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and the door was opened unto me of the Lord, I had no rest in my spirit, verse 13, because I found not Titus my brother. But taking my leave of them, I went from thence unto Macedonia. And as I was going and doing, I wanted the Corinthians to know. I'm telling them I'm traveling, said Paul. I'm coming. But verse 14, you guys need to know, Paul said, I'm coming, I'm writing to tell you, am I able to overcome all the odds, all the obstacles, all the enemy, all the opponent? Am I able to get there? Verse 14, Thanks be unto God. Thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, to have the victory. Always, 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 always. The branch abides, always. As long as the branch is abiding, it's always, 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 always going to have life. Spring, summer, winter, fall. Doesn't make any difference. You've got to be abiding. If you're abiding, you're going to be enjoying the life that God has given into this vessel of dust. Therefore, in verse 14, causes us to triumph in Christ, maketh manifest, clear, public, plain, the savor, the fragrance of what? Of his knowledge, by us in every place. We're able to go because we're able, and because we're dust. So when we do it, it's never going to be the branch. The branch doesn't get any credit. It just stays attached. And as long as it's attached, the life flows from it. The tree, the leaves, the fruit, the season, it just does. And the glory of the branch is the life of the branch. And the life of the branch is none other and none less than God himself. God is the life of the branch. God is the life of the believer. And the wonderfulness of it, the believer can't ever say, I'm like the devil wants to do. I'm going to play God. We can't play God. We're just dust. That's all we are when we're all done. And God, the only way this is ever going to be like you say is because of you. You enjoy, we are to enjoy your wonderful life flowing through us in a wonderful, wonderful way. And you get all the glory and all the honor. Now, so therefore, Caleb and Joshua, here we are, Caleb, talking to them. And here we are, and we are able to what? To show the wonderful knowledge of God in every place, wherever we go. And verse 15, we are unto God a sweet savor, a fragrance, wherever the, is it Airwick? We still have a Airwick bottle or something? And wherever the Airwick bottle goes, it brings the fragrance, wherever it goes, it brings the odor. So home, work, home, school, whatever it is, wherever you are, the believer is a fragrance, a way to sense God. The branch is a way to accent. The branch shows its relationship. And therefore, in verse, every place, and sweet savor, verse 16, to the one we are savor, fragrance of death. In other words, the believer is going to show that you need to be saved. And if you don't want to be saved, then all you realize that you aren't saved. Because here's a believer pointing and having the life, the branch, the life, the leaves, trusting God as a savior, being at peace, etc., etc., and able to go and enjoy a wonderful relationship, which the people around you at work or school may not have. And they know they don't have that. They can never talk about God. They can talk about church. They can talk about all kinds of things. But they can never talk of a personal relationship to God. To be able to talk to God, my God and Savior, they can't do that. They can pray, read, but you can't talk to God. You need to know him like we know each other humanly. Now, so therefore, if we can, verse 16, to the one we are a savor, a fragrance of death unto death, to the other a savor, a fragrance of life unto life. And who is sufficient? Who is sufficient? Who is able to go, the word sufficient, to reach a desired end? Enough, ability, competent, to be competent. Who is able to do this thing? Caleb and Joshua said, we are able. We are able to do it. As God's people, as God's nation, for God's glory, we're able. So, verse 16, who is sufficient, question, for these things? For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. Now, slide over. In the light of that sufficiency, verse 16, you see it in verse 16, who is sufficient? Question. Slide over now to chapter 3 and in verse 5. Not that we are sufficient. There's your word, enough. Not that we are sufficient. Who is sufficient? Well, not that we are sufficient. It isn't about us. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency, there it is again, is of God. The reason, vessel of dust, we're clay. It isn't about us. It's not about us at all. Verse 6, who is able, who God, who has made us able. The word able is the same word as sufficient. Able, competent. Who was able, made us able, ministers, think of deacons, waiting on tables. We're serving God. Who was able to, God who has made us able, ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, not of law, but of the Spirit of God. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. So God's wonderful, wonderful working in this most wonderful, wonderful way. So therefore, God, what are we doing? So therefore, picking it off, it is not you and I doing our best for God. It's not that. It's of God. I'm going to do the best I can. Your best is never good enough. My best is never good enough. And when we talk, we're doing our best. Are you really doing your best? I'm doing the best I can. Are you really doing the best you can? With your whole heart, are you doing your best? Not very likely. I just say I'm giving myself to it. Doing your best. So therefore, it is not us doing our best for God. It is not that. It is not hoping. Hoping God is on your side. Remember we read it in Joshua chapter 5, verse 14 in that. Are you for us or against us? And God said, I'm not for you guys. I'm not for the other guys. I'm for God's will to be outworked. God's glory. He put his wonderful person in vessels of dust to be so that he gets all the honor and all the glory. So therefore, it's not hoping God is on your side. You don't want to do that. Abe Lincoln, remember, we used the illustration during the war, and Abe Lincoln said to the men, in answer to the question, I don't know if God's on our side or not, but I know we better be on God's side. We better be on the same page with God. Caleb and Joshua are on the same page with God. God is trying to tell us, the believers in Corinth, the city, he's trying to tell them, be on the same page with God. Be on the same page. And therefore, it is not doing something for God. God, we're going to do something. That's sometimes people do that. We're going to do something, God, so that we're going to show that we're on your side and we're going to do something. We're going to do this for God. We do this for God. That's your works. And you can't do that for God. You can't do that. But I'm going to do it. And God recognized. People have said that. I don't have to get into all of it. Different religions, that they're doing what they do for God. That's what they're doing. For God. But you can't do it for God. You can't. God said, no flesh shall glory in his presence. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, his wonderful grace. It isn't about us. So we are going to do it. It's a wonderful thing you want to do something for God. But God doesn't need your help. No offense. God really doesn't need your help. Our help. Now, so having said that, so God, here we go. Having got that a little bit, now over to Romans in chapter 8. And in Romans in chapter 8, I'm picking up, if I may, and you'll notice, and we know it. I'm going to slide right over into the wonderful 8th chapter of Romans, sliding over to where God, chapter 8, verse 28, we know that all things work together for good. Not everything is good. To them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. God, you're going to do a wonderful thing, and God's doing what he's doing. He's going to work it all out. We do our little bit, eating and drinking, coming and going, honoring God. That's all he wants, abiding in the branch and just enjoying a life. You'll enjoy physical life to some measure. You'll enjoy spiritual life. That's what we're to do. To enjoy, we have a relationship to God. We need to enjoy that relationship to God. And verse 31, what shall we then say for these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Well, no one can be against you. It doesn't make any difference. It doesn't make any difference. God, the devil, the system, there's no, God's God. There is no other God. Everything else that he's created, including the devil himself, God has no problems. We have an understanding, like we shared this morning with that. AM down here and FM. And we got AM and everyone's trying, that's our earthly. And we're trying to understand FM, God's word, and God from an AM level. And we read about God, we preach about God, we write about God from an earthly level and not from a heavenly one. God has saved us to go from earthly, we become spiritual, we're to enjoy a heavenly relationship to God so that we can understand heavenly things. We can understand what it said. God said, I'm able, you're able. Again, sliding quickly, if I can. Romans chapter 8, sliding down again. Who was able to lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies, etc. Verse 33, sliding down quickly. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. That's where we are, God. With sheep, that's what God helped Israel. 40 years in the wilderness, and they were sheep. And all they had to do was just look to God, and God took care of them. Now they had to understand they needed to do that in God's will to be outworked in the land of conflict. Now, sliding down, main point. Verse 37, nay, in all of this relationship, in all of these things, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. We are more than conquerors. We are able to go more than. We're more than conquerors. We're able to go above. We have power beyond measure. Now, verse 37, you have victory beyond measure. You can't measure the victory. You can't measure the power. And now let's look at that. We got the power. God's able to do whatever he wants, when he wants, and we just need to abide. So here we are talking about victory. That's right. Wonderful, wonderful victory. That's what they're going to have. Joshua, do you believe that? Caleb, we do. We are well able to go forward. Therefore, in verse 37, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us in God's wonderful care. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if you would, So therefore, let's put that together. A victory. You have more victory that can't be measured. It can't. All you can do is try to understand that kind of victory. Therefore, it is not obtained. Victory is not obtained. Not obtained with our help. God doesn't need our help. He needs our trust to abide. He doesn't need our help. The branch isn't going to help the tree. It just needs to abide to enjoy the life of the tree. So therefore, it is not obtaining victory with the help. God, we just need some help. God, we can do a lot. I just need a little help. A little help. I can do that in the flesh, but I can't do God's will in God's way, in God's time. God doesn't need my help. God needs me to abide and trust him and enjoy the relationship. And enjoying the relationship, God outworks his life and his will in a wonderful way. All the branch is doing is abiding. God is taking care of the rest. And the branch abides and tries. It may have all kinds of problems around it, but it abides. God is doing what he's doing in the way and when, how, in the way that he does it. Now, having therefore it is not looking, we aren't going to help God. And we aren't going to go and say, God, we're not fighting to reach the place of victory. God, we got to get to where we can do it. But you already can do it. As long as you abide. What can't you do? What can't you do if you abide? What can't God do in your life if you abide? So, God, we got to reach the place of victory. I got to get myself fit. I got to take some more Cheerios and get myself ready, ready, ready. But you never can get ready. Do your best. What is your best? It's flesh. No flesh shall glory in my presence. I don't need you. I want you to know you need me, said God. Now, so therefore, it is not fighting to reach the place of victory. It is not seeking to overcome the enemy. You don't overcome the enemy. You don't overcome darkness. You're light in a dark world that's getting darker. And you aren't stopping it. You're just a light there. The light out in the lighthouse out in the ocean just sits there. Just sits there. It doesn't change the ocean, doesn't change the waves, doesn't change the hurricane, doesn't change anything. It just sits. Sits. That's right, it's a witness. Acts 1:8. And you shall be my witnesses in all parts of the world, wherever you are. You're going to be a witness, a lighthouse. You aren't changing anything. You aren't fixing the darkness. We're going to defeat the enemy. No, you're not. You're never going to defeat the enemy. Not now. Not in this time. It isn't time. No, it's this. He's the God of this world. He's the prince, the ruler of the power of darkness. He doesn't lose his job. He's God in the flesh. As it were, he wants to be God in the flesh. The devil does. So therefore, because you and I are trusting God and God saves us out of the world and leaves us in the world, we don't change the world. So every time you win and you go forward, you don't change anything. You're just a winner. And you just need to enjoy winning. You need to be a little lighthouse and shine. You're his witnesses, Acts 1:8. So that's what you're doing. We're fighting. We're fighting. We're fighting, as it were, not to find the high ground. We need to get in the place where we can win. You're already there. You aren't going to get there. You're there. What was Caleb and Joshua trying to say to the rest of the people? You guys, we're all there. We're all there. We're Israel. We're God's nation. We go forward. Let's go. We're all there. But they didn't see themselves as there. They didn't see themselves as there. Go over to Luke if I can. And in the process, picking up, please, in Luke, and you'll see it. If I can, open the Gospel of Luke. And chapter 15. Luke in chapter 15. And picking up, if I may, you remember the illustration God uses of the prodigal son. And the father has provided for the family. Family is everything. The father takes care of the whole household. And the son wanted to go out and be in the world to spend his wonderful, he's being saved, he has everything in the father's house, so I want to have everything, I'm going to leave the father's house, and out I go into the world. The world doesn't have anything in the father's house, but the kid doesn't know it. So he goes out into the world, and all the wonderful things that God is doing in his family and his relationship comes out, and the world system doesn't care, and he ends up eating the husk of pigs, eating the husk of corn, etc., like the pigs do. Because the world doesn't care. The world doesn't care that you're a new creature in Christ. The world doesn't care that old things have passed away. Everything has become new. The world doesn't care. So what? The kid has to, what? He humbles himself and goes back home, and God receives him back. He gets his life back in order. But this time, he understands all that he has is because I'm in my father's house, and it's my father that gives me all. Now, point. The second son, as you know, Luke chapter 15, if I can. And he was very, very mad because the son had all of these good things, the feast, and they had a big party, as it were. Verse 28, and he was angry and would not go in. He wouldn't enter in. No, he said, I'm not going in. That brother didn't do like I did. I stayed right in the house. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to the father, his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time my command by thy commandment. In other words, I tried to be a good son in a good way and do everything he asked. And yet thou never gavest me a kid. You never had a big meal for me that I might make merry with my friends. You never did that. Ah, verse 30. But as soon as thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him and the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet and fit that we should make merry and be glad, for thy brother was dead and is alive again, was lost and is found. You always had everything. What was his problem? He always had everything. He was a saved man, a saved boy, girl. He had everything. And why does this other guy get blessed? He didn't exercise a thankful heart and appreciate and exercise all that he had. He failed to do it. I'm a believer. You're a believer, believer, believer. I'm a believer. Are we enjoying that benefit? Question. You see, we can be saved. And here's this believer, happy, sad, glad. Here they are looking to God. Why is he happy? I'm a believer, you see. I'm even a preacher, see. I am. So what? My problem is that believing heart is exercising the relationship and thanking God for God's saving grace in his heart. This other brother isn't doing it. the brother's at fault. The believers are at fault. They have the same privilege that you and I do. They need to exercise it. They're able, just as you're able. You need to exercise it. You're at fault. So don't blame God and don't get huffy and puffy. Don't do that. Understand, God's done it for you. It's your problem. You aren't going to get more of God. You aren't going to have more benefit. You already have it. Exercise it. See, and just going to church and sitting there, well, we do whatever. Listen, that's not what being a believer is. You want to enjoy being a believer. You want to exercise being a believer. Therefore, God, in your wonderful, wonderful grace, God, you're going to go and do what you do as only you can do it. And therefore, God, we aren't fighting to get the high ground. We already got it all. You already have it. You aren't going to have any more of God if you're saved. You need to exercise being saved. You need to exercise God's power beyond measure. You need to exercise a victory beyond measure. It is not measurable. God has given you something that if God wants in your... God's will for your life, Ephesians 2:10, is to be outworked in a wonderful way. In what kind of way? I want you to eat and drink, and whatever you do, do it to my honor and glory. I want you to walk around and be a little lighthouse. Do you know years ago, you won't remember different things, but here's Lloyd Willard, you don't care. That's long, many years ago. And Lloyd got stuck where he couldn't talk. He couldn't do much. He had to sit in his little porch in Middletown, sit because he couldn't talk. He could listen, he could understand, but he couldn't do anything. Couldn't do anything. And one time we were talking, I was talking to him and talking to him. And well, we have to remember, here's Lloyd. Here he is sitting there out in the sunny pool, out in the porch in the sun. Now, Lloyd, here you sit. You can't do anything. You can't go anywhere. You just sit. And all the angels, the good guys and the bad guys, and all of them are very conscious that here's a man sitting that's trusting God and abiding like the branch trying to. I said, that's what you're doing. And that's awesome. Lloyd, just sit there and be a little testimony to a world of darkness that you were light in the dark place. Be a testimony. You don't have to do anything, Lloyd. Just believe and abide and thank God. And he's going to do what he does. That's what God has to do. We're able. We are able. I'm not able to do. You're not able to do as you get older. And sometimes people don't understand. I didn't understand. I think of people, dear people I lived through, lots of old people. They got old and died. Yeah. And say, boy, going up the stairs, you know, and what the things. We just hopping down upstairs, you know. Now we're glad we don't fall down the stairs, you see. So I'm walking, wow, what are you doing, God? You have to learn it. You learn what? It isn't about us. It's about God. It isn't about whether I can jump up the stairs or not. You're trusting God, whether you go up the stairs fast or slow. You're trusting God. That's what it's about. Abiding. You're more than a conqueror. You are able. You are able to abide and enjoy. And don't be like the son who said, well, here I am, God, I've got everything. Why don't I get something? God already has given it to you. Are you letting God bring it to pass in your life? over to Ephesians. Boy, we aren't going to go anywhere. Anyway, hope you got a little bit to understand. It's beyond measure. The whole thing is beyond measure. You're not going to measure it. Power, victory, what God's done, he's already done it. So no matter what lousy conditions you're in, or whatever it is, the world system isn't going to get any better. It's getting darker. So God, what do we be? A little light in the dark place. So God, Ephesians in closing. Ephesians, in chapter 3. Thank you for bearing with me. I'm just trying to provoke you to understand. God's already done something, and you're either going to be smart enough to say, God, thank you, and roll up your sleeves and go for it, or you're not. And you can sit another 10 years and say, like people do, I sat there all these years, I never learned anything. We have it. I never learned anything. Why don't you get into the FM part? Because you're trying to understand AM. You're trying to understand the Bible. Being as in an unsaved carnal state, flesh. Flesh, no flesh shall glory in my presence. So I'm talking about abiding from down below here. And it doesn't mean a thing. In my personal life, I got to get up here, FM. I got to get where I understand it. And I already have it. Exercise it. Oh, you walk by sight. Remember that? 2 Corinthians 5:7. Oh, I'm sorry. You walk by faith and not by sight. You trust God. That's what you do. Now, so Ephesians 3 and 20, as you know. God, how much so? Beyond measure. Now, verse 20, now unto him who is able. Able. Are we able? Absolutely. Are we able? Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask, and you shall receive. It's the way it is. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power beyond measure. The power that worketh in us. Think of 2 Corinthians 5:7. God said, I take a vessel of dust and I put my power. I'm going to be omnipotent, God's omnipotent person in your little life. And I'm going to give you a victory, a wonderful triumph in everything. I'm just going to outwork my wonderful will in your life to show all the world around you that I can save to the uttermost the believing heart that trusts me and lets me be God. I got to quit. Got it? Our Father and God, we thank you for your word, your grace, your work. God, we're just stumbling along. Thank you, thank you, thank you for all that you're doing, the way that you do, when you do, how you do. God, we owe you from start to finish. Thank you, thank you, thank you. In Christ's name, amen.